They can hear you. You're on the air. Yeah. Maybe not. Okay, I'll make you first live. As soon as I get in. Oh.
Live mic? I have a live mic. Can you hear me? Okay, he just handed me his phone. All righty. Apparently, I am live. Somebody say yes in the chat room. Please say yes. Yes, says Papa Newt. Hi, this is the Lucky Mojo Curio Company's Strange Day at the Internet. So the show started. We have no idea where we are in reality. We were unable to get on the Internet. We had to restart our network about four or five times. Shiva running up and down stairs. And I have no idea where anybody else is or what they're doing, but we're pulling it together. It'll take us a minute. Be patient. And I can tell you what's going on here. Daniel Smith is here working on our railroad. And we are having some much-needed repairs and upgrades to the railroad layout. I heard that. I heard someone's phone. What was that? All right. Oh, look at that. I got somebody else on the line. Who is it? Is it Nagashiva? Is it Ali? I don't know.
No. I'm about to make everyone else live.
Okay, I'm going to close my door now because I'm going to get an echo with Shiva. Things are frantic, honey, so excuse me, Sophie. Sophie, I got to move the dog. Hang on.
I'm here. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Sorry, I logged off real briefly to jump on the board.
All right,
but you got there first.
Oh, man, okay.
Yes,
that killed the echo. Whew. Now, we don't have an announcer.
Yes, you do, actually, Miss Cat.
Yes,
oh, you're here. Papa. You got on while I was moving the dog.
Even
though everyone
could hear
me.
We're all here. All right. And we've only wasted 5 minutes. So, thank you, everybody, for your patience. Man, you know, the Internet. We all rely on it every day of our lives. And then, you know, you go to do something so simple, and you think, well, I do that every week. But then it doesn't happen, and you go, all right. All right, Miss Phoenix says, it's never a dull moment around here. Do we get Miss Phoenix live online, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
There she is. Okay, yay. All right, well, let's start off where we would have been 5 minutes ago had we been there.
Sure.
Welcome to the show, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what's been going on here. Like I mentioned, Daniel Smith is here working on the railroad. Tomorrow, I start my apprenticeship week, and we will be teaching herbs and their uses, how to make herb mixes and how to use herbs in all kinds of formulas, recipes, and just as themselves in mojo bags and paper packets and so forth. So that's going to be tomorrow. Tuesday, people will be working with herbs, dehydrating, and packing herbs. And Wednesday, I'm going to be teaching this again for my graduate students, class in candles, how to tell them all apart, how to use them, how to dress them. And then on Thursday, they're going to be labeling candles and working with candles for us in exchange work-study program. And on Friday, I will be teaching washes and waters, which is kind of a catch-all class for things like Chinese wash, Four Thieves vinegar, all of those little extra things that aren't oils, that aren't herbs, that are just extra washes and waters. And so that's my week upcoming. And then on the weekend, we're going to have the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Everybody's going to be here. Now, I know Professor Porterfield is coming in on Tuesday, and I know that Deacon Millett is coming in on Thursday. And Andrea Weston, Angemilla Jones, and Kai Armand are coming in on Thursday to start rehearsing their performance piece, which is The Voices of Hyatt. And I was privileged to sit in on a Skype session where they were basically, you know, practicing and reading via Skype. But they need to also be able to block this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really looking good. And
oh, yeah.
They just, while we were in that Skype session, I was amazed at how they were inhabiting the personalities of people whom Harry Hyatt recorded. Each of them does a couple of different people and just speak about their experiences as Hyatt recorded them. And it's just beautiful. It really brings the material to life. I was thrilled. It's everything I hoped it would be and more. Yeah, it was impressive. Bring some audio equipment. Bring a camera. We want to document this thing.
Yes, please
and,
do.
Yeah, we really want to. This performance is going to be something, and I hope that they really put it on YouTube or something. If we can get some video, it's really amazing. And I was there while they were planning to invite, and I hope they have invited Professor Porterfield to play the part of Harry M. Hyatt.
Nice.
Now we're going to find out if he knows about that or not, or he's going to blow up the chat room going, "What?" But he's gonna basically play Hyatt and just talk a little bit, just a couple of sentences about how he did these interviews, and that's it. So it's really, we're working very, very hard. I've got flyers to typeset, and I've got a little bit more work to do. Charles is getting flyers together too, and it's really amazing. And it's just going to be an amazing thing. I wish all of you could. Professor Porterfield just posted. What?
Yeah.
I guess they didn't phone you, honey. Yes, Professor Porterfield, you are playing the part of Harry Middleton Hyatt.
Right.
I got to spring one on him. It's not a joke. It's true. It's true. He's probably sitting there going, "What? What?" But you know, they needed a white guy, right? They needed a white guy. So. Yeah, it's going
to
be something else. It's going to be great. And really, the performance pieces, Kai is going to be doing one of my favorite characters, not characters, real person, out of the Hyatt interviews, who is the boy girl. And some of you know who I mean when I say the boy girl. The boy girl was an intersex individual who was a born intersex, person living in New Orleans who's came from a family of professional root workers and was a root worker very young, 25 mm-hmm. years old at the time when Hyatt did the interview. And Kai has wanted to inhabit this character, and he did it on Skype. I was blown away. It was like, I really got it. It was the boy girl. He really did it. And they're going to be in character. Professor Porterfield, bring your suit, okay? We all know that Mr. Hyatt always wore a suit. So that's what's up new with us. And let me bring in Conjurman Ollie and see what he's up to.
Thanks, Kit. That sounds so fantastic. I am very sad that I'll be missing it. While you all will be joining together and fellowship and community, I will be traveling. So... I'm very sad that I'm going to be missing out, but I will be there in spirit for sure. It's been, leading up to this travel of mine, I always talk about how busy it is. Well, it was extra busy this past week, and it's going to continue to be in the weeks to come. So I have been a little swamped, but it's a good type of swamped. I feel like every minute of my day, I've got something to do. So like right as soon as... this call is over. I'm headed to Mother's Day, and then so happy Mother's Day to everyone, and also happy Mother's Day to yourself.
Happy Mother's Day to all.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to all, and happy Mother's Day to Mother Cat over there. and then after that, it's right back to work, and so it's gonna be a fun week. And I do wish I will miss the radio. No, the radio show won't be on next week. We'll have a rerun. But I will miss everyone dearly at the Hoodoo Festival, and my love to everyone. And for people who are wondering why I'm not in the chat, I'm restarting my computer, so I'll be there.
Oh gosh, more computer issues. All right. Well, I'm gonna bring in Miss Phoenix. Now I'm just looking at Facebook where Nagashiva posted in my name on my Facebook feed. The promo for the show. And I just noticed something very interesting. He put up Miss Phoenix's picture, and he put up the picture of the cover of her book. Now, I was the one who did the coloring on that book. The original design was done by Gray Wolf, Townsend. And I said, because I've been a comic book colorist and everything, I said I wanted this little two shades of green, and I wanted these two shades of purple, and I wanted this little tan, and I wanted the Jesus mm-hmm. to be a black Jesus and do the flames this way. And so we had a good time, me and Grey Wolf, working out the color scheme of this cover. And now I see this picture of Miss Phoenix right next to her book. And Miss Phoenix has reddish hair. It's kind of just like this reddish gold, like on the cover. She's wearing purple. She has a little lilac flower, and she's in a green grassy knoll, I would say. And it's really strange because it almost looks like I matched her to make the coloring of that cover, and I had no memory of that she was
funny.
That she had that photo. What a trip. So welcome. And I got to say one other thing. Somebody said to me, oh, you picked New Orleans' color. No, actually I picked the color of a dress that I had designed and sewed for myself around 1965. It was a particular dress based on a design that was in Prince Valiant comics, and I just loved it, and it was a medieval dress. I used to wear it to the Ren Fair, and I just picked those colors from my old dress. So there we go.
Well, I love the colors. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, the idea was to make it look like an iris flower, you know, purple, green, and then the sunshiny gold, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm.
But, you know, because the irises, the bearded irises, they have that little yellow, that golden beard.
Yes, and they're all over the property here at Lucky Mojo. They're totally amazing. I love them.
That's right. That's my favorite iris. It's called mm-hmm. Crimson King. That's the name of that iris. Although it's not crimson. It's just called Crimson King. It's actually a purple iris.
Hmm.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Start. Nice to have you. And I am reminded by Shiva in the chat room, this is your first time being on the show.
It is my first time being
yes.
on the show. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
We're excited to have you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Lovely to have you here. And so what we'd like to do is get into our panel discussion, if we can. But first of all, tell us a little bit about what you do and who you are. And, you know, give us a minute on who is Miss Phoenix, and then we'll get into our topic, which is based on your book, Who Do Shrines and Altars?
Sure. So, you know, I'm a spiritual seeker, I think is how I would describe myself. I love learning about magic and spirituality from all across the globe, and that's sort of been a lifelong for me since a very early age. And, you know, I work at Lucky Mojo and Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, so I've been blessed to sort of be in the heart of the hoodoo mecca, so to speak, and just absorbing information here every day, meeting amazing people here every day, and taking that out and helping people. Like, that is my heart's work, is to do the work that helps people grow and get what they desire in life and shift their lives for the better. And I'm just so blessed to do that work and to be a part of this community. So I guess that's like a 10-cent version of who I am.
Well, I would add that you come out of the neo-pagan community primarily, right?
Right. I'm a little bit non-traditional of a practitioner, and I pull threads from different fields of spirituality. But I feel it's important, you know, with my clients, I really want to know what their spiritual practice is, and then we work from that level. So it doesn't matter who or what the background is, we can find common language to achieve goals and transform lives.
Mm.
And would you say that most of the work you do is in any particular area? In other words, do you do justice work? Do you do love work? Do you do money work? Or do you just do all sorts of general root work for people?
I do a little bit of everything. I don't do breakup work, but I do justice work and reversing and love. I'm a fan. My favorite thing to do is uncrossing and jinx removal, but I prefer to do that hands-on. It's much more powerful, in my opinion, when I can actually be with that person and really feel that their energy and their spirit. I love it all. It's really, it's all awesome.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right, well, let's get down into the subject of your book, Who Do Shrines and Altars? Now, of course, there's going to be people right away who goes, what are you talking about, Who Do Shrines and Altars? Hoodoo's not a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at the picture of the cover of the book, you'll see that it just basically shows a small Christian altar. And that is the basic hoodoo shrine or altar that we see. We see these things going back and described it back to the 1930s when Harry Hyatt interviewed people about what they had on their altars, what candles they burned, and and what saints they worshipped, if they were venerating saints in the Catholic manner, and also other ones. One guy who just had a brain coral, a big brain coral on his altar, you know. So we have a lot of records of that. We even have records that go back farther than that. Back to 1904, there was a woman who wrote a novel, but it was a nonfiction novel called An Angel by Brevet, and her name was Helen Pitkin, and she described going to see a root worker in New Orleans, which is where she lived, and she was a white lady, and she described this altar on the floor, and that kind of a floor altar, we can see pictures of going back in the Century magazine back in the 19th century, and if you go to, for instance, readersandrootworkers.com, you'll even see a picture of that altar, courtesy of Professor Porterfield, who found a picture of it and uploaded it to the Readers and Root Workers site. A floor altar persists in Afro-Caribbean practice, but that doesn't mean that Black Americans who made floor altars were practicing Afro-Caribbean religions. In other words, the idea of an altar on the floor was a African idea, and it continued even among those who were nominally Christian of various types. So that doesn't mean that they were practicing Palo or Voodoo or Santeria or Lukumi or any of that thing. It just means they made an altar on the floor. But with emancipation, people began to own furniture. And an altar, as explained in the book, means a raised place. That's because you're in Europe, an altar is raised. So it's a European word. And so what we have in this book is kind of the history of altars in hoodoo and an explanation of how they are made. And there are several types. So I'd like to turn this over to Ms. Phoenix. And one of the things I'd like you to talk about, Phoenix, is the difference between an altar of veneration, a shrine, and a working altar, and a temporary working altar, okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, you know, I'm a Taurus. So we have another triumvirate of Tauruses on the show again.
Yes. I know we have four because Papa Newt's a Taurus and he's doing our announcing today.
Perfect.
Four Tauruses.
More Tauruses. But mm-hmm. my moon sign is in Libra. So for mm-hmm. me, things that are beautiful and aesthetically pleasing are very important, which is part of why altars is totally my thing. I build altars all over the place. I build altars in friends' houses even when they don't ask for them. Like, I really am into creating altars. And I think, you know, there's this idea that if you go and work your spell and you're doing a love spell and you set it out on your table and then you're making a honey jar, let's say, and you hide it in that paper bag and then you go hide it under your bed. Well, did you use an altar? Do you have an altar? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The working space that you used is your altar. It may only be your altar for 5 minutes. It may be an altar for 5 days. It may be an altar for 5 months, 5 years, or your whole life. But anytime you're doing magical work in a space, that space now becomes your altar.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel if you approach that space with that reverence, you're giving it a little bit more of that energetic. You're putting that signature and that mark on that space. And in my opinion, the more that you can have those signatures and those marks build up and add up and support the work that you're doing, the more powerful your work's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So a working space is kind of like I just said, it's the work that you're doing in that space at that moment, at that time. It could last a really long time. It could last 5 minutes. But within the time that you're working your spell, that is a working altar space.
I'm gonna put in something here because I know Ali has said this before on the show, and so have I. The word altar is not often used among Protestant hoodoo practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
They would more likely say something, my little place, my space, my table, my vanity top, my bureau, my chiffon robe, my kitchen table. The word altar carries in America a slightly churchy attitude toward it, but some churches have big display altars like the Catholic Church, and some have a very simple lectern, like a Baptist preacher often just has a lectern. He might have a little bit of a floral display or an altar behind him, but he's not serving a deity at that altar. Okay? So the word altar is a bit contested, and we're not trying to push it down people's throat. It's just a convenient term, literally meaning a raised place, a place set apart for sacred spaces. So shrine is another word that has an interesting meaning. It means definitely a place of veneration, usually a place of pilgrimage as well. But also people talk about a little pocket shrine, and that's a term that's used a lot and has been, since the 20s, where it's like a little portable thing that you can carry with you, unfold, and it's a little altar, and that's called a shrine. But shrines are usually for veneration. Altars can be for work or for veneration. And I just want to put in a word here for anybody listening who says, well, what are they trying to run this terminology on us? We're not. It's just we need a word to call the book. But you'll see what is a functional altar could be just a whole series of photos of people in the family. That's an altar. It's a family altar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's also people often hear the word altar and assume it has to be some big, fancy, ostentatious thing with all of these very dedicated objects, and it doesn't. It can be very simple. You know, one of the most beautiful ancestor altars is a picture of your beloved dead, of the ancestors in your family, your grandmother, a cup of water, and a candle. Like, really, that's an altar right there for your ancestor. It doesn't have to be huge and elaborate or take up a whole room, although that's nice too. But, you know, a very simple setup is also an altar. And, like you said, Ms. Kat, the language of altar or shrine helps us to have this conversation. It's not necessarily the rule.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I think what we're doing is we're using the word altar in its function, right?
Yes.
So it's an anthropological definition, if you will, or a folkloric definition that the people themselves may not have used, but that's what it is. It's an altar, right? So like me growing up, we didn't hear the word altar in Hoodoo very often, because I work with predominantly Baptist, Protestant workers, a couple of Pentecostal,
right?
But I knew what the term altar meant, right? And I was familiar with Western ceremonial magic and these other traditions where the word altar was used. And I'm like, okay, well, this is technically an altar. So I knew what it was, and that's why this word is being used. I know some people really object to it, but it's an objection that is not necessary. That is what we're working with functionally. And I just want to throw out some really basic ones that I remember is drawers, you know. You have, there was and it was a particularly common one. It had four drawers to them, and it was often dark brown or black, and a lot of people I knew worked on that type of drawer for the work they did. And some people called it my secret place, some people called it my prayer place. Whatever they called it, that's what they used as an altar, and candles were on top of it, little statues that they picked up from flea markets, various items on there, and it was often in the bedroom, interestingly enough, that they did their work right in the bedroom. Because you hear nowadays, and maybe both of you can talk about this, the kind of restrictions with altars. It has to be here. It has to do this. I grew up, they were in the bedroom, you know, and my teacher worked in the dining room table. So it's very interesting how these variations exist with the church. And yet we often find ourselves constrained by a lot of lawmaking or rulemaking about what constitutes an altar and what doesn't.
In the chat room, we've got another thing going on, too, which I'd like to mention. And first of all, Ali is right. The idea of this restriction, no altars in the bedroom, is just a bunch of modern rulemaking by a bunch of people who came into hoodoo. As Professor Porterfield says, remember, folks, you joined hoodoo. Hoodoo didn't join you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is important to understand. Don't go telling your elders and betters you can't have an altar in the bedroom, because I found out from Cuban that, no, they're not Cuban, so give it up, you know. If that's the rule in Cuba, then you just follow that when you're in Cuba. But in Georgia, you can have an altar in the bedroom, trust me. In Oakland, California, altar in the bedroom. It's okay.
Totally.
Right? So, I just need to say that. Always remember, when you join a cultural practice that is not your own, meet people in that culture, ask them, and don't be reading books, and don't be talking to people who joined it themselves from another. I mean, no offense, but don't be asking that Cuban about how to do something from Alabama, because they don't know, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's to altars in the bedroom. But let me go on with another little thing here, and this is about ancestor altars. Papa Newt said, if you don't know what an ancestor looked like, you can take a picture frame and paint the glass black. In other words, reverse paint the glass black, and you just basically, it's what's called a black mirror, and you'll see the piece of yourself that is reflected from those ancestors, and that is one way to work. Another way, which I learned a long time ago, was to take a generic statue of a person of the ethnicity, historicity, and gender of the person you wish to represent. And somebody asked me, what do I mean by that, a generic statue? Well, when I was young, there was a line of statuary called Ebony Treasures, and maybe somebody remember that. And they still make them, and there's other lines that are similar to them. And they would show, they'd be just like a generic statue of an older gentleman and an older woman dressed for church, and maybe they'd have their grandbabies with them. And it would be this real pretty little, mantelpiece statue, right? And that would stand in for the grandparents or great-grandparents for which you had no photo. Let's say that your ancestors, many people in my friends, and I will speak to somebody, actually a good friend of mine, Ms. Robin York. She has beautiful statuary of African warriors. Well, she knows she's from Africa, right? She's a black-skinned woman, right? But she don't know who those people. She knows she's from Texas, but she don't know where in Africa so much. I mean, she has some ideas, Cape Verde Islands and things like that. But she buys these African statues. They are a way of focusing your energy and attention if you don't have a photo. Remember, photos were not invented all that long ago. I'm over on a place called Genie, GENI.com. It's a genealogy site, and there are little discussion groups and little side things. It's kind of like Facebook for genealogists. And one of the things is there's a discussion group, a little group you can join, called Oldest Photographed Ancestor. And I found that in my family, my oldest photographed ancestor had been born in 1794, and he lived well into the age of photography. But so far, the oldest photographed ancestor of anyone in that group was born in 1734 and lived a long time and got photographed, very early photograph. So one of the things that we know is that if you do want to contact deep ancestors, you're not going to find a photo. But to try to find that earliest photo, it's going to, it's kind of a good thing to do. And Ollie says, again, a man who had a blank photo frame for all the ancestors he didn't know.
Yeah.
And Miss Michael puts in a note, too, here in the chat room. Black Hawk in a Bucket is an example of the use of generic statues in ancestor work. That is true. Mm-hmm. Black Hawk is a spirit and being in and of himself. But Black Hawk also was taught to me by a member of the spiritual church movement in Oakland that he would stand in for unknown Native ancestors. In other words, a lot of black people have unknown Native American ancestors, and Black Hawk would bring them in for you. And so Black Hawk in a Bucket would represent not only the work that Black Hawk himself could do, but that he would reconnect you with your Native ancestral strain and lineage. So, yeah. And Punchman Ollie, yeah, you got to say what you just wrote in chat about getting the name of an answer.
You brought up the websites. And sometimes one of the great things about these genealogy websites and these various services that are available is that they give you a name, all right? So ancestors often are an amorphous kind of group of spirits. We refer to them as the ancestors. But we know the ones that have passed recently, grandma, grandpa, great uncle even, and such. But when we get further back, they become this kind of amorphous group, the ancestors. But working, investigating, working with genealogy sites is a great way of then finding a name of the person from 100 years back, 200 years back, 300, however far back it goes. And then that person becomes an individual that separates out of that amorphous group. And you can include them in the work by calling out their names. So you call out grandma and grandpa, and then you also call out this ancestor's name that you found, and then the ancestors. And that's a way of kind of processing or working with the ancestors bit by bit, bringing them out of history into and activating them, or bringing, I'm using a very historical term, look at me, activating, and bringing them or bringing them to life into your presence by calling out their name. So finding a name is a very, very powerful link. And if you ask your ancestors to come forward and help you discover who they are, that's one of the first things they'll do. They'll find, they'll show you a way of getting to their name. Right,
mm-hmm.
They'll
That's
come
right.
up in a conversation. You know, we had this great uncle named Johnny. Did you know? Oh, I'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that's one of the ways that you get connected.
Another thing I'm going to recommend for ancestor veneration is get your DNA tested, and then go in and take a little study on that area of the world where that DNA originated, or you know, mutated from the basic stock, and get some photos of that place, that's good work. Now there's other kind of altars besides ancestors. So those are the ones that we always talk about in the African tradition. Ancestor veneration is so important, but there's other kinds of altars too. And I want Ms. Phoenix to talk about making a temporary altar. She has some techniques that work really well: dusting mm-hmm. down the surface, putting some stuff down, making the altar on a cloth, and then tying. Tell them about that, will you?
Yeah, so one great way, especially if you're going to do some work and you don't want it hanging around in your space, like if you're going to do reversing work or cursing work or anything like that, you set up your altar space, you lay down an altar cloth, put out all of the supplies that you're going to use, and you do your working and let that take however long it takes. But then when you're done, instead of having to put each individual piece away or scoop up any wax that may have melted or dust off any herbs, you just tie up that altar cloth. And then you can dispose of that work all in one shot. It makes it a lot easier to do the cleanup work for cursing work or breakup work or anything like that. You just take that little bundle and you can dump it in the crossroads or go and dump it in a flowing water, however you want to get rid of the working that you're doing. But you can use the altar cloth as a means of disposal, and it makes it a lot easier.
Right. And
then you come back and use Florida water or Chinese wash or whatever to get the energy gone.
Right.
But the objects you can just get rid of all in one shot.
This is a really practical way to work. And people are going to ask immediately, what's an altar cloth? Miss Phoenix, what's an altar cloth? Where do I get an altar cloth? Well, I'm just going to cut that question short. I was channeling Professor Porterfield when I did that. I almost did his Doodles Weaver voice. How weird. Okay. Been around the professor too long. Okay. A handkerchief. Just get a handkerchief, a white pocket handkerchief. You could get a black handkerchief square. You know, they make those handkerchief squares in every single color. You can buy them online in packages, a red, green, blue, you name it. They make them for use in a soup. And that will be a really great way to make a quick altar cloth that you don't mind disposing of.
I have another little trick too, is when you go to the fabric stores, they have a little section in every single fabric store of remnants, and it's these little pieces of cloth that aren't quite big enough to sell on for regular sale. So they're really cheap. They
mm-hmm.
come in all kinds of colors and styles, and every time I go to a fabric store, I raid their remnants section for altar cloth.
Right, and if you go, first of all, Professor Porterfield noted that the word you want is a pocket silk. That is true, a pocket silk, often made of rayon, but yes, a pocket silk. And the word that you're looking for, Miss Phoenix, I believe, is quilter's squares.
Oh, yeah, that's good too.
A quilter squares is where you really get, because nice have a nice square thing, you tie it up. When I say tie up, I mean tie it crosstown ways or kitty corner, catty corner. You tie from one side to the other, you tie the other way, and then you tie again. It's all tied. It's tied, right? Now, you could take and tie and bundle it around like you'd make a mojo bag, you know, like tie it up and then go around the neck of it. You could do it that way, too. But I like to just tie them crosstown ways. You don't need a string. All right. So, and quilter squares, crafter squares, sometimes called, those are great. And remnants, same thing. Very, very nice stuff. So, we know this book is going to change a lot of people's lives. The book is called Hoodoo Shrines and Altars, Sacred Spaces and Conjure Root Work by Miss Phoenix LaFay. And I know you're going to love the book. Everybody, it's really, she's got spells in it too. Different altars for different purposes, real quick solutions, and it's a book of history, it's a book of practice, and it'll be coming out at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Okay, you're listening to, and of course it'll be sold on Amazon afterwards, and at the shop. You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with our guest, Miss Phoenix LaFay, my co-host, Conjurman Ollie, and I'm Catherine Ironwood. And I'm going to turn it over to Papa Newt, who's going to bring in our first reading client.
Thank you, Miss Cat. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, and this week's special guest, Miss Phoenix, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners and answering their questions through spiritual divinations and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535 if you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum. Please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting our callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, I'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. We have Miss D calling in from area code 904 in Florida. Miss D, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. This is your first time. I want to welcome you. And I see that you have not gone to Conjurman Ollie or any other root workers on this situation. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Thank you very much. And Miss D writes, my husband and I separated after 5 years of marriage. He has seen his ex with whom he has children, but he is sneaking to communicate with me and taking care of me financially. He says he's divorcing me, but hasn't filed. He signed our house over to his ex, and she is harassing me in person and via text message. I'd like to like my marriage restored if possible, and would like a reading on this and some advice for root work. Turn it over to you, Miss Kat.
Wow, Miss D, that's a serious situation you've got going on, honey. I'm so sorry. It's just a bad for you. I feel terrible. Let me ask you a few questions before we start the reading. What sign of the zodiac are you?
Sagittarius.
Sag. And what sign is your husband?
Capricorn.
And the ex that he has children with, how many children does he have?
They have a total of 4 children.
Oh, my. And you have no children with him?
No, we have no children together.
But you have children of your own?
Yes, we have a blended family, yes.
I see. Oh, boy. This is a bad situation, sweetheart, and I really sympathize. All right. I'm going to ask one other question. Do you have a lawyer?
I do not. I have talked to a lawyer. I've had a consultation.
All right, honey. I'm going to tell you something before we get into the reading. And I say this often. If you listen to the show, you'll hear me say this. You need to have a professional on the social and mundane levels on which this is going on. I'm already feeling, and I haven't even thrown a card down, I know you're being spiritually attacked. And I know that one of the ways the spiritual attack is working is to cripple your energy, courage, power, and will to change things. In other words, mm-hmm. you've been made to knock you over spiritually, but mm-hmm. and I believe, of course, that that's the ex who's doing it, and she may have help. That is just a straight clairvoyant statement. I haven't even thrown a card yet. Okay,
but you're now, correct. You're correct. You're right. I know her. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, having said that, I want you to understand that whatever I tell you from now on is predicated on the fact that you will have a lawyer. You're going to need a lawyer because you're in a fight for your security here, all right? This is bad, and this is really bad. You wrote, he signed our house over to his ex. Well, how could he do that? Was your name on the deed?
No, it was his home prior to marriage.
I see. This is bad. This is very, very bad. It's a serious situation, and I'm hoping that you're going to come through this on all levels intact, because I'm really feeling this is, you got much more on your plate here than you thought when you called this radio show. All right, I'm going to throw down three cards and see what we got. Number one is a card that tells me this is not a good chance for restoration. It is called the Six of Swords. It shows a man rowing a woman with a child across a river, and there are six swords stabbed into the boat that he's rowing, a little flat-bottom boat. And this is a man trying to push you away with your child or children. And in a way, maybe getting away from this situation would be to your benefit, although at the moment, that poor lady in the boat, she's suffering. She's got her head down. She's got a blanket over her like she's a refugee, like a just in bad situation. And but it's a very turbulent water that he's rowing her through. And when they get to the other side, it's more clear. And I am worried that you're going to try to restore something that may not be to your best interest to restore. Now, of course, you could try to overpower this whole thing, and but I'm afraid that there's more problems here, and it's not just his ex doing work, but that he himself is a difficult person. And the reason I say that is the next card I have is the Seven of Swords, and that is the card of the liar and the thief. And that says to me that this man is lying to you. In other words, he is not just under her influence. He himself is a deceitful person who does not mean you no good. And he is sneaking around to see you. He is taking care of you financially, but there's lies going on here. And yeah, there are people who can live a polyamorous lifestyle or even a bigamous lifestyle. If you want to get that out in the open and say, all right, I'll be your other wife, but let me live in this house. You can see me anytime, whatever. Go ahead and do it. But I don't believe that that's what this man has in mind. I believe this man is trying to settle you down in order to rip you off. I seriously think this man is deceitful. And getting him back may not be the best idea. The best I can say is that this ex can be dealt with, but you're going to need a lawyer. You really are going to need a lawyer. They are counting on your good-naturedness. You're an easygoing person. Sagittariuses tend to be easy. But I'm seeing a struggle here, and the third card I have is called the Ten of Wands, and that shows a person really working hard to try to get to a little house that they're in and trying to get things settled, and it's really oppression. You've maybe come to us a little late, and I'm not trying to scare you here, but I'm not seeing a good solution here. I'm seeing you could do work, and we'll get to the root work in a minute, but what I'm seeing out of this reading is a long struggle. It's really going to be a struggle, and this other gal has set herself in position. The man is lying, and you need a lawyer. That's what I'm seeing, okay? Let me turn this over to Miss Phoenix, and she's going to read her reading. It's going to be her own. It'll be different. We'll see what she has to say.
Thank you.
So, you know, unfortunately, what I'm seeing is very similar to everything Miss Kat has just said for you. So my cards have popped up a little bit differently, but they're definitely in the same vein. The very first card I have on the table is the Two of Swords. And in my deck, the Two of Swords is a female figure who's blindfolded, and in front of her are two roads with the swords across her chest. You're blindfolded in this situation. There's been either intentionally you've been kept in the dark, or you're choosing to stay in the dark. And it's easy to want to be in the dark when you know something is a difficult situation and things aren't being done honestly or said honestly to you. But that's your first challenge here, is to take off that blindfold and really see the reality of the situation and what you're up against. And that's, you know, like I said, these cards are challenging. The second card I have on the table is the Eight of Cups. And on the Eight of Cups, we see a cloaked figure walking away from the edge of a river. There are eight cups on that riverbank. They're leaving those blessings behind. I think, unfortunately, your husband's already walked away. Emotionally, he's moving forward. And even though he's still communicating with you and secretly keeping conversations going with you, I don't think that's for your best interest. I think that's for his best interest. it's not serving you in the least bit. And that Eight of Cups is really about letting go. You know, this tells me he's let go, but more importantly than that, it's time for you to let go. Again, Two of Swords, take off that blindfold, Eight of Cups, walk away from this situation. Because what I see coming is the Five of Wands in the third position here on the table, which fives are always cards of challenge. And, you know, this is struggle and fighting. And I think if you try to hold on to this relationship, it's going to end up being more of a battle and more of a fight and more of a conflict. It's not serving you. It's not in your best interest. And the longer you hold on, the worse it's going to get. I agree with Ms. Kat. It's time to get a lawyer to make sure that you are protected and covered from a legal standpoint and start looking out for your best interests in this situation. It doesn't matter what he says or what he wants, because it's not what's best for you and for your own children. This is a hard one. This is a hard
one. Yes, it's a very hard one. I'm going to say something here, too. You know, people call for a reading, and they want to know, how can I make this work? And sometimes the reading, and we got both got, they're different readings, but they're very similar. The readings are basically saying, we need to protect you and your children. That's what's going to happen here. I understand that... that you're, you know, we really, this is heartbreaking. This is a heartbreaking reading for both of us. I'd like to turn this over to Ali and see what he can say about root work. But I know you're asking about, you'd like your marriage restored if possible. We're not seeing possible right now. Okay, let's turn this over to Ali and see what he says.
Thanks, Kat. I've been listening very intently and following along with my own reading, and I couldn't agree more. This really is a time now, my dear, to focus on yourself, to focus on getting yourself to a better place, because I also get the sense that if you continue to hold on, that it's not just that it's not going to work out and you're going to be disappointed. I get a sneaking suspicion that you're going to have the rug pulled out from underneath your feet. So he may want to take care of you financially every once in a while, and he may want to be friendly, but I should say, you know, be careful, because it could be quite dangerous. So what I would recommend in this case is first some healing work for yourself. So love uncrossing bath for you, and then work some court case work to start to, get yourself the protection that you need and draw in the legal representation that you need and bring in an advocate who will make sure that you're taken care of financially. What I would recommend first and foremost is to gather these herbs. I want you to get rose petals. I want you to get rue. I want you to get violet leaves. Get yourself some milk and some honey. Okay? Now you're going to take the herbs and you're going to boil them into a tea. Then you're going to go and pour yourself a bath. Into this bath, you'll add your milk and your honey, and then you're going to pour in the tea that you've made. Now, you can strain out those herbs and just use the tea that you've made. And what you're going to do is you're going to bathe in this. This is a soaking bath. You're going to lay in this bath and let all your hurt, all your attachments to kind of melt away from you. Now, what's great about this bath is it's not kind of a harsh breaking of the attachments. You're not sending him to hell. You're not burning the bridge. You're not saying, I'm done with you. I hate you. It's a healing bath. It's about allowing you to let go. It's about empowering you to let go, to heal your heart, to move on firmly. It also happens to be quite good for the skin, so it has a double benefit there. After you've done that, what I want you to do is let yourself air dry, gather a bit of the used bath water, and you're going to take this bath water to a crossroads, throw it over your left shoulder, and walk away without looking back. That's you saying, I'm done with the relationship. I'm not ending it on bad terms. I don't hate this guy, but it's time for me to walk back without second guessing, without doubt. That's why you don't look back. And you're going to walk back home. Now, it's time to make sure that you are going to get taken care of, okay? I want you to get a mojo bag for this. I want you to get a bay leaf for victory. It's also a very powerful solar herb, and it's great for clarity. Get yourself some deer's tongue, some calendula flowers, a pinch of tobacco, a pinch of salt. And you can add other quercetin roots and herbs if you want, little John de Chu, Castera Sagrada, all of those can be added as you feel fit. But those five should kind of form the core of your mojo bag. And what you're going to do is you're going to put the mojo bag together, and you are going to write in this mojo bag, you're going to put a piece of paper with your written petition. It should be a letter written to God. You're going to say, God, I ask you for these things. I ask you that you bring me an advocate that will stand by me, that will fight for me, and that will help to ensure that I am taken care of legally. I ask that you bring me success in all court matters, that this relationship as it ends, you know, it doesn't cause any trouble for me. Like, for example, this house that was being signed off. That's fishy to me. You need to relook at that. You're going to write this down on your piece of prayer. Be as open and honest and thorough as you'd like. And you're going to fold it up with the herbs, and you're going to place this in the mojo bag. Smoke it in a little bit of court case incense that you've added a pinch of tobacco to, and feed it some whiskey. And you're going to carry this on with you wherever you go. And every night until you find the person that's your advocate, you're going to take out your mojo bag, you're going to hold it in your hands, and you are going to pray to God. You're going to say, God, I call upon you. I call upon the aid of my mojo bag. Bring me my advocate. Bring me the people who will stand by me and help me in this situation. That's what I recommend from my end, and I'm sure my colleagues, Kat and Miss Phoenix, have additions that they can give from different angles, okay?
Okay, I'm going to add one thing here, because what we've got is this issue of the house and where y'all going to live. I would try nailing down the house to delay being evicted as long as possible. It won't be permanent. You're not going to be able to win if he really did sign it over to his ex and so forth and so on. But you need to, depending on what state you're in and what the laws of that state are, and of course every state is different. This is why you need a lawyer. In some places you can be evicted in less than 30 days, and other places they can't evict you until they go through a long procedure. It can take as long as 6 months or more. So I know you're calling from Florida, but I don't know the laws in Florida, but you've got to get yourself a Florida lawyer, okay? So nail down the four corners of the house. You can use common nails. You can use railroad spikes. But outside the house, nail it down and just say, let no man drive me from this house until I pull up these nails. Now, it's not going to last forever. I know that. But it's going to help. It really will help. And it'll keep it slowed down. And you can pray over those nails. Before you do that, you can, you know, say, like, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved from this house until I am ready to move. Okay?
I would just quickly add that we're also talking about a blended family here. So your kids are going to be experiencing this pain as well. And in the meantime, you know, get some peaceful home sachet powders and sprinkle that in the carpet and vacuum it up. Add a pinch of that of peaceful home bath crystals into your wash. Do some things to help bring a little bit of comfort to your children, because they're going to be experiencing this split too.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. There's another thing. Peace water works. It's a two-part solution. It comes in a little bottle. You can shake it up, put it in a spritzer. It'll re-separate out. Every time you use peace water, you shake it up and you say Psalms 133 or a part of Psalms 133 with it, just to have people dwell in harmony together. This is a classic situation of it's all his fault. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to state it right out. It's his fault. He did this. He had his grass is greener on the other side of the fence moment, and now the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And I don't forgive him for this. I think that the man is the problem. And the other thing you might want to work on is trying to work for justice. In other words, get yourself a lawyer who is not out to slash and burn, but to get justice for you and for your children. 5 years is a long time to have been involved in this, and you've been handed the short end of the stick, unfortunately. But you need a helper, And I would say out of the fullness of my heart, you want a helper who understands that this isn't just about money and it isn't just about family, but it's a combination of keeping your children happy. I mean, there's so much has been counted on here. I would not blame it all on his ex. I believe she's been lied to, too. But on the other hand, his ex is behind this. You're going to need some protection from her. I don't think you're going to win, but I would like you to do some reversing or some protection against her bringing evil energy into the place while you're there. Okay? So just any kind of protection work that you can do using protection oil and burn some on a little bit can protect us from the incursions of this this ex of his. Because you're a Sagittarius, you will land on your feet. You've got that going for you. And Sagittarius is a sign that is a very resilient, very able to accommodate change. So I wish you all the best, lady. I feel so sad for you. Do your best. Call us back. Let us know what's happening if you need any more help. Good luck to you. All right, folks, you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, and we are taking live calls from calling clients. We got our guest with us today, Miss Phoenix LaFay, my co-host, Conjure Man Ali, and I'm Catherine Ironwood of Lucky Mojo Curio Company. And turn it over to Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, CARE, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. We have our client calling in from area code 718 in New York City. This is Lisette. Lisette, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the show, and I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I see you have not gone to Ms. Kat or Conj Ben Ali for this situation or any other readers or root workers. And
yes.
She writes, I'm recently married to my... Oh, certainly. Thank you. And Lisette writes, I'm recently married to my boyfriend of 9 years. We've known each other since high school. His parents are dependent on him and require his time and attention. He doesn't put up boundaries to say he's married and not as available as before. I'm graduating in May from a master's in art education and would like to find a great school to work in. I'd like for us to buy our home, start a family, and excel in our careers in order to do so. I'd like a reading on our relationship and some root work advice on how to separate him from his meddling family so we can start our own life. Turning it back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. I'm going to ask a couple of questions like I always do before we get into the reading. About how old are you?
I'm 36.
36, okay. And do you have any children? You say you want to start a family. Do you have any children now?
No, not yet, no.
Not yet. All right. Well, you got to work fast now. All right.
Yes.
I'm just telling you, you know, your fertility will drop off that plateau when you hit 40.
Oh, I know. I've been working on that.
Okay, good. Good for you. All right. All righty. And I'm going to give you one thought before we get into the reading. And this thought is this. You cannot separate him from his meddling family. You can only cause them to unmeddle. And the reason is the things that you loved about the man that make him a good husband is also what makes him a good son. If he hated his family, he probably wouldn't be half the good father that you hope him to be for your child. He wouldn't be half the good husband you hope him to be. So the family may be not the nicest, but I would rephrase my wish. Just telling you this from a long-standing root worker's piece of advice, don't ever try to break up a boy from his mother. And on Mother's Day, it's a good thing to say. She may be neurotic as hell. She may be in and out of the mental hospital. But if a boy loves his mother, he can transfer that love to you. But if you turn his love to his mother to hate, he'll hate you too. So I'm just going to say that, and now I'm going to turn it over to Conjure Man Ali for the reading.
Thanks, Kat. I'm happy to do a reading here, but I do want to, you know, clarify in advance that you, whenever you're in a situation like this, just from what you said in that last sentence, right, mm-hmm. I'd like, you know, advice on how to separate him from his meddling family so we can start a life of our own. Now, I fully support the idea that once you get married, it's your own family, right?
Right,
That's very important, but you know, if you're up against separating a man from his family, you're fighting an uphill battle. Those are very powerful bonds in of themselves, right? So be careful. That's something to bear in mind. But yeah, maybe it's not about separating. It's about negotiating, you know, where his priorities are. And that's what the cards the very first card that I have is the Two of Cups. The Two of Cups is you and him married. You know, it's you and him as a relationship. It is a beautiful relationship. And there's a lot of great redeeming qualities there. It is a great mix between the two of you. You are an ideal alchemical blend, if you will. And so the relationship is good. It has solid foundation, and there is hope in that relationship that it will manifest and mature and grow into something even more beautiful. The problem is the present, and the present is the Two of Pentacles. So we have two cards that have showed up. One, the Two of Cups, and now the Two of Pentacles. This is where things are. The Two of Pentacles is the potential. I mean, the Two of Cups is where the potential is. The Two of Pentacles is where things are as they are now. It shows a man trying to juggle two coins, and he's a little bit off balance. The coins are going up, the coins are going down, and that's you and his relationship with his family, right? He's trying to balance between the two of them, and he's not making the right decision ultimately because it is leaving him imbalanced. But here's the trick. Here's the key. These two coins are joined together. They cannot actually be separated. They cannot be broken apart. There is a tie there that joins them together. And the final card that I have here is the Ten of Pentacles. The Ten of Pentacles is family. It's his ancestors. It's his family. It shows an older man in leisure, sitting down. He looks like he's in a small medieval Italian village, and he's looking on at his descendants, two individuals, a man and a woman, that are conversing in front of him in the courtyard. This is about knowing the role of his family and the role of you. That's where you want to get him to. You don't want to separate him from his family. His family is a source of comfort, power, and strength for him, and it should remain so. And they can be the same for you as well if you approach this situation properly. This is about getting him to see his own life and in its own light and growing up. So this isn't about separating him. Seeing these cards, I'm getting spirit telling me clarity work, John the Conqueror work, work that empowers him, work that encourages him, work that helps him rise up and reach his potential through success, work that allows him to move forward confidently with his own family in the lead, but never work that completely breaks him apart, not work that aims at tearing a rift or even separating, right? It's about management. It's about putting things in their right place. And his family has a place in his life, but a different place than what you have in his life. So that's what I say in this reading. And I'm going to turn this over to, I believe, Ms. Phoenix, who's also going to give you a reading.
And what's funny, Ali, you have the Two of Cups and the Two of Pentacles. I have the Two of Wands.
Yeah. There you go. 3-2.
Yeah, so there's definitely, and in my deck, what's interesting is the Two of Wands, the imagery is a chalk figure drawn into a hillside, which is a man with a staff in each hand. He is the doorway between you and his family. And what I'm getting here is he's trying to actually balance all of this. And for you, he's not doing a good job of balancing, and you'd like the family to be a little further away, but he's trying. And it's not easy, you know. The other thing I would throw in there is you guys have been together 9 years. You knew this man's family was going to be a big part of his life. And, in-laws are challenging. I totally get that. And after 9 years, you have to just come to terms with the fact that they're there. They're not going anywhere. And so maybe working on this in a way to make any rifts between you and them not so challenging, right? So I agree with Ali. There is some courage work to do here, some clarity work for him, some boosting. But I also have the Lord card in my deck, and this is all about rules, right? So there's also something here about you are also part of the family. Maybe there's a way you can bridge this gap. Maybe there's a way you can be the man in the center of the Two of Wands and helping that doorway stay open so it's not all on him, so he's not the one always trying to keep the peace or do what needs to be done for the family. I also have the Magician here, and whenever the Magician pops up for me, what this tells me is you can adjust, flip, switch, change the situation around, but it is going to take work. And with the Magician, I always hold it as four prongs of work. You know, the Magician has all the tools of power on his altar. He has the Pentacle, the Cup, the Wand, and the Sword. This is using all the elements, doing candle work, doing bath work, using incense, like really the full gamut, because we're talking about adjusting the way he approaches his family, bringing in some peace for the for you and his family, and working at this situation from several angles, because like Contramentally said, the family's not going anywhere. We have to change how we approach them. Does that make sense?
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank All right. We have some sound in the background. I hope we can cut that out. Okay.
Got it.
Now, okay, so I'm going to try to bring this thing together. I'm looking at it from a standpoint of, Miss Phoenix pointed out something really righteous here. It's been going on for 9 years, and you need to approach this in a fairly subtle way, because you don't want to just like make a break here.
Right.
And you would like to find a school, you said, to work in now, and you'd like to buy your home. So you're looking for someplace near you. In other words, it's you're not going to move or anything like that, right?
I'm looking to. We now currently live with his parents, and so I think he's just very comfortable. And I'd like to move and get our own life started, meaning that I have a stable employment, and he believes in me that we can start our family and.
Let's go back to this family situation. So you've been married nine years. You're 36 and you've had no children. It's because you've been in school and other things. But is he a problem with having no children? Has this been a difficulty?
Oh, we've been just together. We recently got married. And
A lot of people have children with no marriage. I'm just, you know, okay, so you guys going to play it that way? Or that's okay. All right. I just want to make sure that we don't have any medical problems or anything like that.
Right. As of now, I'm not particularly sure, because he just doesn't want to even start. I think he's scared to have a family. That's the whole reason I'm sort of seeking help and advice.
All right. All right. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to put in some ideas here. One of which is, we talked about a blended family with the last client, but we were not seeing it work. It was actually not working. So let's hope for a blended family here to work a little better. Okay. So one of the things that I have done when working on parents of a partner, and I got to ask another question, does he have any siblings?
Yes, he has a sister.
Okay, and is the sister married?
Yes, she is.
And does the sister have children?
Yes, she has.
All right. All right. Good. Now, see, now we got something going on here. Okay. So I want you to get pictures, just little whatever you can get offline or whatever, you know, print them on plain paper of the sister, her partner, her children, whatever's going on with that, his parents and so forth. I wouldn't mind if they were each on a separate piece of paper, and I'll tell you why. I make a little booklet out of them. I literally stitch them together into a little book, a little family book, but this little book is a little. I take little pictures like little thumbnails, you know, like you'd get on a Facebook profile, and I will take a needle and thread, and I'm crafty that way. And I'd sew them one to the other, to the other, to the other. But I'd also sew a cover onto them. on the cover would be a picture of as many of you all as you can get together. If you can make Photoshop, so much the better. But you want to have a picture of maybe a house, or, hey, you could use that Ten of Pentacles card that just got pulled. Ten of Pentacles is the ideal card of the ideal family all together in a little Etruscan villa. You know what I'm saying? It looks nice. So, but you're going to make a little booklet. And you're going to take and literally stitch these guys together, stitch by stitch by stitch, and make a booklet. And in between those pages, there'll be blank on one side and picture on the other. On the back of each one, you're going to write that person's name. And you're going to say what their role is in the family, you know, father-in-law or, you know, whatever, and sister-in-law and so forth. And you stitch them all together. And now you're going to do what some people call ruining that book. You're going to make that little book, but it's a packet. And you're going to take and you're going to put a little spot of honey between and glue them all together. Each page gets glued together with honey, right? And as you do it, you're going to say, let us all be in harmony with one another. As the bees in their hives that work together to produce sweetness, let us be a family that works together to produce sweetness. Okay. And you can then take a little bowl of sugar. Now, you notice I did not say a bowl of honey. I said a bowl of sugar. And you're going to take this little thing. Now, if you want to, wrap it up in aluminum foil and make it nice and neat and put it in that sugar bowl. Some people wrap it in aluminum foil. Some people just put that little thing in there just loose. Okay? No matter to me. And put the sugar over it in a jar with a lid, like a canning jar, like a wide-mouth canning jar with sugar. And you can... shake that sugar up. Use that sugar in cooking. That sugar you will use in cooking anything that you serve to any of those family members. If they have a little party and everyone's, you know, I'll bring the cookies or whatever it's going to be, right? You know, here, Auntie Em, let me sweeten your tea. Whatever. You're going to use that. But that little booklet that you've made is the booklet of the family. You can tie it together, closed with a little string, like a little package if you want to, with the thread that you've sewed it up with. You're going to have to be a little crafty on this one. But the idea is you've glued them all together with honey and you've said your prayer over them. Let us all be, as brothers and sisters, as mothers and children, let us all be together. Okay? And that is a very simple form of work. Now, you can add things to the sugar. Okay, some of the things you might want to add to the sugar would be a little cinnamon so that you have the money to buy your own house, you buy your own home, and cinnamon always brings in money, right? You could add a little bit of vanilla. We talked last week about using a whole vanilla bean to scent the sugar with vanilla, and it's just a real vanilla bean, and you put it in the bottom of the sugar jar, and that'll last for quite a while. And you can add new sugar as you take sugar out and use it. But the idea is that you're going to do that where they are going to actually taste or contact it. The other thing you can do is to sprinkle a little of their sugar around your threshold. So as they walk in, everyone who walks in here must be sweet, okay, must be sweet to us. All right, that's kind of my ideas for some work. How about you, Phoenix? Do you have any ideas?
Well, I think sweetening the family and getting everyone on the same page and making that smoother and easier is definitely the right step to go. And, you know, Khanjaman Ali also was talking about some clarity work for your husband and some courage work, because what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling and seeing in the cards is not just that there's difficulty with the family and you may not get along with the family, but also you don't feel like he's standing up for himself. So doing work to help his courage and boost his, you know, John the Conqueror, getting a mojo. And if he's open to this kind of work, all the better, you know, getting him to carry a John the Conqueror mojo and to sort of work with that energy to boost his own courage and his and standing up for himself. Now, if he's not into doing this kind of work, you have to be a little bit more sneaky and maybe work some of this more in with doing the skull candle working to help him be more courageous and speak what needs to be said by putting John the Conqueror into the skull and carving the words that you would really love to hear him say to his family, remembering that you still have that honey going and you want these words to be sweet. We want everyone to get along. We don't want him telling off his mother. We want him standing up for himself and saying what needs to be said. I think that approaching it from that double perspective of getting everyone in the family to get along and maybe bridging any gaps that might be between you and his family, as well as getting him to be a little bit stronger, stand up for himself more, and stand up for you as well, I think that's going to help to make this whole situation a lot more smooth. But again, it's been 9 years, so you have to be willing to also be flexible and be prepared for this to be the part of your life, because this is his family and they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. I would say another thing, too. You have this sister-in-law. I'd like you to pull her in as an ally if you can. She's got children. You deserve children. And, get her as an ally. And, again, put her in that little booklet. I do think the idea of courage for your husband is good. Some of the other things that are used for courage are yarrow, John the Conqueror, crucible of courage, powder or oil or bath crystals. And that will help him set up some boundaries without being hot and mean about the boundaries, but just some considerate boundaries where he can stand up for you and yours. And I'm going to tell you just something again off the chart here. I am concerned about the childbearing years, and I am concerned that you make sure you work toward this, having a child. If nothing else, get his sister to talk to him about how beautiful it is and how wonderful to have children, because this is going to slip away from you if you don't take advantage of it the time.
Yeah.
All right, honey, good luck to you. And if you need
Thank
medical
you.
Help to get pregnant, check it out soon, okay? All right, you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, and with our special guest, Miss Phoenix LaFay, my co-host, Conjure Man Ali. My name is Catherine Ironwood, and I'm here on behalf of the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. And coming up in our next segment, we're going to have a free spell from Miss Phoenix LaFay. First of all, we're going to have some announcements by Papa Newt and others.
You are listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters, spanning a wide range of topics. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner. Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban Palo and Dominican Sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times, comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burma shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
Thank you, Nagashiva, for that wonderful announcement. And we are now time to head to our free spill with Miss Phoenix of PhoenixLafay.com. Turn it over to you, Miss Phoenix.
Thank you. So, in honor of Mother's Day and in honor of the topic of today with altars, what I am offering you today is a justice altar, keeping in mind that today there are hundreds of mothers who are without their children because they were murdered by the police or shot down in the street.
This is
a huge, huge issue in our culture right now, and it's one that really touches my heart. And so that is the spirit of this altar is for justice. So the first step of creating a justice altar is to find an ally that you're going to work with for this altar space. This can be anyone that you really look up to, alive or deceased, who has been a voice for change. For me, on my justice altar is Sojourner Truth, who is an amazing woman. Feel free to Google her name, Sojourner Truth. Amazing. But you could create this justice allyship with Maya Angelou, with Bayard Rustin, with Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., whoever it is that really stands out to you as an icon of change. First thing you're going to do is get their photo. Put it in a beautiful frame. You can print this out from, you know, Google. Put it in a beautiful frame, and then find the space in your home where you're going to create this altar. Clean this space off, all the time focusing on change. The first step is to dust the surface of the altar with the Just Judge sachet powder from Lucky Mojo. And when you dust the sachet powder on the altar space, recite Psalm 35. Now, I don't want you to just recite these words like blah, blah, blah. I'm saying Psalm 35. Feel it. Envision social change. Envision social justice. Really hear each word coming out of your mouth is transforming our culture. This is heavy magic here, this spell. Once you've recited the poem, put a bay leaf in every corner, so you'll need 4 bay leaves. This is to ward off evil and send protection like a wave out into the world. The next step is to have a dish and a candle. So any kind of dish, you want it to be fire resistant, so you'll be able to burn charcoal briquettes in it for incense. And I use a white pillar candle, white for peace and white for clarity. And put that candle next to the photo of your justice ally. And then you'll make an incense mixture. I use, in my personal work, a mixture of tobacco and agrimony. You'll mix this together and burn it on the charcoal briquette. And every Saturday I do this work. I feel Saturday is the best day for justice work. But what I do in my working, and this is what I would encourage you to do taking this work forward, is any time you hear of a situation that you want to add to the altar, just write out a petition and put it right underneath that dish where you're going to burn your incense or right underneath that candle. So, for example, recently I added all of those young women who were rescued from Boko Haram who have come home pregnant with having spent the last year in terrible circumstances. I've added those girls to my justice altar. Every time I hear every 48 hours another black person is killed by the police, I've added their names to my altar. The names on my altar are very full right now. But I trust every time I add a name and every Saturday I stand at that altar and I recite Psalm 35. And I believe the more of us that do this work, the more we're going to change the world. And so I give that to you as a Mother's Day offering, so that we can work together for transformation.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. That's a beautiful, beautiful working. Agrimony, for those who are unfamiliar with it, is an unusual herb in that it's the one that returns evil back to the sender.
Right.
It's just a different than some of the others. And so that's why agrimony. Tobacco is an ancient sacred herb and is often used in court cases and also any place where you want to influence someone from afar, a la what we call smoke signals. You send up tobacco makes a lot of smoke, and it is it will be seen from afar. Beautiful, beautiful work. And tobacco is used for cleansing, for justice, for purification of all types. So a beautiful thing. Also, tobacco is toxic, and it can be used to kill vermin. And so you can find tobacco in spells of getting rid of the unjust. Beautiful, beautiful spell.
Interestingly enough, in a lot of naturopathy and a lot of herbal healing, tobacco is used to kill infections too.
Yeah.
So this
that's
is
right.
Powerful work, Miss Phoenix. Rock on.
Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much. And as Miss Michael says, Mother's Day was originally a political celebration itself. Lots of mothers in the old-time labor movement.
That's right.
That
mm-hmm.
is so true, Miss Michael. Thank you for reminding us of that. All right. Mothers for Peace. That's right, says Vicky Trancho. All right. Well, let's turn this over to Papa Newt, and he's going to give us our final announcements, and then we'll all say goodbye. Papa
Thank
Newt?
Thank you, Miss Kat. Thank you, Ms. Gutt and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Ms. Phoenix of PhoenixLaFay.com in Santa Rosa, California. Next week, we'll have a special broadcast as the Hoodoo Heritage Festival put on by the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church will be taking place, but we'll be back on May 24th. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Brew Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Katz via the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Kansas City, Missouri. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on the Blog Talk Radio, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and the shows are archived via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Papa Newt. And thank you, Phoenix, for being on the show. You were absolutely great, and we hope to have you back.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, I know it was your first time, but you waited a long time, and we'd like to have you back as soon as you want to. Thank you, Conjurman Ali. We're going to miss you at the festival.
Oh, thank you. I will be there in spirit.
All right. You'll be there in spirit. We're going to have a rebroadcast again next week. We're going to be doing a million things, so we can't do the show live. We want to thank everybody in the chat room. We had over 40 people at one point in the chat today. And, of course, we know the show was listened to and archived by thousands of people. So to all of you, thank you so much for supporting this show, the longest-running show on Hoodoo, on Blog Talk Radio or anywhere on radio. So on the whole planet.
On the planet,
says Nagashiva. And thanks, Papa Newt. And thank you, Nagashiva. Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.